marriage of the monogamous royal kind is what a lot of people around the globe are talking about these days. Britain's Prince William and his fiancée Kate Middleton now have set a date. They're going to marry on April 29th in mighty fine fashion at Westminster Abbey. All the attention on the British royals got the world's carols all thinking about all those other royal families out there.
It's not only the British who get excited about royal weddings. Just this past June, Sweden's heir to the throne, Princess Victoria, tied the knot in a lavish public celebration that cost more than $3 million.
It was kind of the event of the summer.
Nathan Hegedus is an American journalist who lives in Sweden.
And there were keychains and cakes and special t-shirts and special cards. And the country more or less shut down for a couple days during what they called the Love Festival before the wedding.
Yes, the Love Festival. Hegedus says that's how they spun it. So it wasn't the Royal Festival, it was the Love Festival. An event for everybody, not just the royals. That was especially appropriate, considering that Victoria was marrying a commoner. The new Prince Daniel was her former personal trainer. And Sweden's royal family isn't the only monarchy to have embraced commoners in recent years. Denmark's Crown Prince Frederick is married to an Australian-born woman, while in the Netherlands, Prince Willem-Alexander married an Argentinian woman who used to be an investment banker. And that's not all, says Joe Little, managing editor of Majesty magazine.
It's very much a case that an heir to the throne no longer marries somebody of a similar status. In Norway, the Crown Prince married a lovely girl called Mette Marit, who had quite a checkered past. She was an unmarried mother and was taken into the fold very quickly.
Little thinks this trend might be for the best.
Some of these Crown Princesses are perhaps more popular than their husbands.
And popularity, after all, is what it's all about if you want to keep a royal family afloat, especially if you're funded, at least in part, by the public. Thanks to Queen Victoria, who had 87 great-grandchildren, many of Europe's royals are related to each other. And there are more of them than you might think.
The Queen is related to so many of her counterparts, so it's really a huge jigsaw puzzle.
And that European jigsaw includes Denmark, Norway, Sweden, the Netherlands, Belgium.
Spain 6, Monaco 7, Liechtenstein 8, Luxembourg 9, and I'm bound to forget somebody.
Well, with the UK, that would make at least 10. In recent years, polls have shown that about 80% of the British public are in favor of retaining the monarchy. For those 20% who'd like to see it abolished, some of the concern is about money.
But really, any head of state costs money.
Joyce McMillan is a Scottish political columnist. She says that for those opposed to monarchy, it represents a hierarchical society in which some are less equal than others. Still, she says, if you look at it objectively, constitutional monarchy in Europe has a respectable history as one way of guaranteeing democracy.
It's one way of guaranteeing that the identity of your country never becomes caught up in the persona of one political party or one political leader.
McMillan says if she had to vote tomorrow on whether to keep Britain's monarchy, she's not sure what she'd do.
I'm not going to be spending the day weeping and holding a street party when William and Kate get married. Likewise, I'm not going to be advocating an immediate move to a republic.
With support for Europe's royal families generally stable, it doesn't look like they're going anywhere anytime soon. And for the British public, at least, next year's royal wedding promises to be another love festival. For The World, I'm Carol Zoll.